Psalm of repentance. Psalm 51. You say, Pastor, when are we going to get through with Psalm 51? Well, I hope you're learning as we go. There's a lot here. Psalm 51, verse 8. Let me hear the joy, David says, after he has sinned. Here's a leader who sinned, the leader of Israel, who was living an immoral life. But yet this leader repented. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. And he says again, let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Look at verse 16 now. They go together. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Our Father in heaven, we come to you as sinners, in need of your mercy and repentance and your brokenness. Father, open the eyes of our hearts to see that brokenness and a crushed heart, a contrite heart, is what you desire above all else. Holy Spirit, not only help us to see this, we ask you to break our hearts. We ask you to crush the pride of our spirit and let us depend on Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Even that little brother over there said amen. Last week we talked about brokenness, and we're going to talk about brokenness again today, and we're going to talk about brokenness next week. And last week we learned that brokenness is a tool that God uses to bring his wandering people back to him and close to his heart. We even saw the analogy and the story and an ancient Near East practice. You may think it's cruel that when a lamb would stray away from the shepherd and the flock, the shepherd would go after him and bring him back, but sometimes he'd bring him back with his legs broken. You say, oh, how cruel. The shepherd would actually break his legs. Why? Because he loved him. So they would not run off again and be eaten by wolves or lions. But something else. Because he would carry that broken lamb in his arms. He would carry him to the water hole. He would carry him to the green pastures. Just as God carries us who are broken, who are in need to depend on him. Brokenness is something to be desired. How many of you want to be broken? I don't see any volunteers. Don't break my leg. Well, this ain't the mafia. Brokenness is not what people desire. We sang it, didn't we? Brokenness, you know, is what I, what? Long for. How many are longing to be broken? Well, it ain't long for God's going to break you. God breaks all of his people. Brokenness is contrary to this world who says, no, be strong. We value strength, don't we? Not weakness. When last time you saw somebody jumping up cheering for somebody who lost? We want winners, right? We don't want losers. Self-confidence and pride is valued over humility. How many will pay $50 to go to the Falcons football game to see them lose? That's the way it is right now, isn't it? You're a broken team. Not too many fans right now. Greatness, you know, greatness. What, MAGA? Really? Is that moral? Make America great again? What about making America humble again? Hey, see, that is morality. That is moral leadership. Micah 6:8 says, what does God require? And one of the things he said is to walk humbly, humbly with your God. Not all strutting.
Yeah, we number one. America first. We're going to make it.
No! Leaders above all. Whether you are a family leader, whether you're a cheerleader at school, or whether you are sitting here saying, what in the world is he talking about? God requires of you to walk humbly before him. And if you don't, guess what God's going to do? He's going to break you. See, God's going to break everybody. I don't care what your position is. Well, I don't care if you're in the White House or the Poor House. God will break you. Every knee is going to bow. Every knee. And declare that Jesus is Lord. So, as the man said, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. And the later is going to cost you more. God calls on all of his people to embrace brokenness, weakness as a lifestyle. Not as an accident. Not as maybe. Not as optional. Not at all. God wants what? Look at verse 17. What does God desire? He desires this. Sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart. God, oh God, you will not despise. He takes pleasure in the brokenness of his people, in the weakness of his people. James chapter 4 and verse 6 says, God does what to the proud? I'm proud to be American, right? Because at least I know I'm free. No, you're the most bound person on the face of the earth if you got pride. You're the most powerless if you've got pride. James 4:6. See, we say, oh, America's a Christian nation. What do we value? Do we value humility? Is that what you hear coming and seeing from our leadership? James 4:6, it says, the Lord, how does it say, resists the proud. You want God with you? The Lord resists the proud, but he gives grace to who? To the humble. You want grace? No, I want my own stuff. I want my own accomplishments. Look what I've done. Look what I can do. Look what I'm doing. No! We need the grace of God. As Christians, as leaders, no matter the level, brokenness is the key to strength and greatness. Brokenness, humility is the key to success. You want to be blessed? Well, on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Who sets out to be poor in spirit? Nobody. You want to get as much as you can, right? You want to set records. He says, blessed is the poor in spirit, the person who realizes that they can do nothing of their own. That they're penniless spiritually. He says, oh, you know, that's spiritual. I don't believe in none of that mumbo jumbo. Let me tell you something. God is real. You don't exist as some get together of some amoeba. You're not the result of slime. You're the result of an intelligent, loving God who made you to be with him forever. And to be with him forever, he says, this is the one I look to. In Isaiah, he says, I didn't write it down, but he says, this is the one I will dwell with. He who's a humble and of a contrite spirit. He's not going to be with the proud. Guess where they're going to be? In hell, trying to make hell great again. He never was great and never will be. It's all in God. Here's my point. This is what I want to ask you to do. Ask God to break you. Who has the faith to ask that? a bold request. Ask God to break you. And if you already believe you're broken, well, God, show me. Show me. Ask God to break your heart. Ask God to crush your spirit. Because this is what he wants. The sacrifices of God are what? What do we read? Are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. Ask God to break your heart from depending on anything but him. You have a dog, right? Or a cat. You want to break them from pooping on the carpet or whatever, right? You want to know, is he housebroken? How do you housebreak him? All right, you think about that. I want to give you the answer. God will break us by disappointment. You ever been disappointed? Something you really wanted and you didn't get it? What about failure? You work so hard and yet you fail. What about loss? What about heartache? Oh, he broke my heart. Oh, she broke my heart. Oh, I'm heartbroken. My heart is in pieces. Guess what? God wants your heart in pieces. God wants you all messed up and out of order. Brokenness is a thorn. It may be sickness. It may be financial difficulty. It may be consequences of your sins, as with David. And it may be the consequences of the sins of what somebody else did to you, and maybe even a family member. That hurts the most, doesn't it? When a family member disappoints you, when a family member sins against you, devalues you, ask God to break you until you surrender. Run up the white flag. It's in Christ alone our hope is found. We sing that, don't we? God wants to break us from dependence on people, places, things, accomplishment, making so much money, wearing so many clothes, your Jordans. He wants to break you from that. It's not wrong to have money. It's not wrong to, it's great if you can and not depend on it. For the love of money is the root of all evil, not the money. But when you can think back at your bank account, well, you know, I got this much put away for my retirement, and I got that, and if this happens, I can take care of it and just write a check, then you are in trouble. As a friend told me one time, his wife was sick. And he said, you know, I could just take care of this with a check. But all the money I've got can make her whole. That's brokenness, when you can't fix it. You heard of Humpty, didn't you? Some of you little kids, how many of you little kids and big kids like nursery rhymes? How many of you can tell us the nursery rhyme Humpty Dumpty? Anybody remember that? Anybody? Can I get volunteers? How about you, young lady? I'm too old for that. You said right. Okay, you're too cool for Humpty. Anybody want to recite? And this will go out on the internet. The nursery rhyme Humpty Dumpty. Anybody? No volunteers? Anybody know Humpty Dumpty? Uh-oh. Ooh, question. Can you recite it for me? I need you to get microphone height. Okay? Not hamburger height. Come up here. All right. Can you say rhyme real loud for everybody?
Rhyme?
Yeah, Humpty Dumpty.
Humpty Dumpty.
Loud, loud.
Loud?
Uh-huh.
Humpty Dumpty.
Okay. Let me help you here, child. We all need help, right? Humpty Dumpty. Everybody, the whole congregation. Ready? Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. Stay there, girl. Those of you listening, I have her on the floor here. And all the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty what? Together again. That's brokenness, folks. Thank you, honey. Thank you for your efforts. Listen, we're all broken. When Adam and Eve sinned, there was a great fall. Man could no longer, by his own efforts, and he never could really, make himself right with God. He had fallen from God's grace. He had fallen out of fellowship with God, and there was nothing he could do. All the king's horses, all the animals in the Garden of Eden, nobody could put Adam and Eve back together again. Frankly, we're all born broken. And the only one who can put Humpty Dumpty back together again is the Lord Jesus Christ. But Humpty has to realize that he is broken. And many people walk around denying Jesus as their only Savior and think that they're okay. Used to have a book called I'm Okay, You Okay. No, you're not. I don't care how much you say it. We're not okay. We're all missing God. We all were created after the fall, especially born with a God-shaped vacuum within us. And the only one who can put us back together again is God. But we first must ask God to show us that we're broken. And if you think you've got it together, ask him to break you. Ask God to kintsugi you. You heard me? Kintsugi you. Now don't come back and say, well, kintsugi you too. I'm not trying to pick a fight here. So don't be calling me those names. Kintsugi you. Kintsugi you. K-I-N-S-T-U-G-I. Know what language that is? I'm not speaking in tongues. It's Japanese. Kintsugi you. And I needed you to kintsugi real quick. What does that mean? Before you put it up there, put it up, don't cut it on. You know what kintsugi is? It is an ancient Japanese art of taking pieces of broken pottery and cups and bowls and putting it all back together again using fine gold or other precious metals, leaving the fractured, broken parts obvious. And in even cases where even the edges of the broken pottery, you can still see it. Ooh. Please put up a picture for me of a kintsugi bowl. Isn't that beautiful? It's a kintsugi. It is expensive. You say, who would pay a lot of money for a broken piece of pottery? People do. These sit in Japanese, since it's an ancient tradition, it sits in Japanese museums worth thousands upon thousands and tens of thousands of dollars. In the broken places, you see what? Gold. Gold. That kintsugi pottery is now worth more than it was before it was what? Broken. More than it was before it was broken. I ask you to ask God to kintsugi you. You want real success? You want to have real value? It comes from being broken. And God, once he breaks you, he will, by faith in Jesus Christ, put you back together again. And in the broken places, the places that seem so hideous, he will fill you with his Spirit. That is more precious than coal. How many of you want to be broken in here today? How many really, really want to be broken? Who will take up the calling and ask God to break you and to fill you with himself and to break you from depending on yourself or any other thing to make you happy? Happy, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. This is real value. This is Christianity that does not depend on your religiosity. It doesn't depend on how much you give and how much good works you do. It depends on who puts you together. And all who have faith in him, he says, I'm going to make you a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. More valuable. Sometimes we say, oh, if I hadn't sinned, oh, if I hadn't messed up. Oh, no, there are consequences. But God says, I will take your broken life and I will fill it with the gold of my spirit and make you more valuable. Therefore, he says, know no person after the flesh. Know no person according to their past, for you're a new creation. And all of this is from God. No Humpty Dumpty, all the king's men, all the king, they can't put him back together again. Only God can. And when God puts you back together after being broken, you are better, weak. For now you will no longer depend on yourself, but God who sustains you. See, everything God creates, he sustains. He's not dependent on you. Listen, Paul lived that life of brokenness. You know, Paul had it all together. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul had it together. I mean, he had the right racial lineage. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He said, you want to talk about race? I'm the top. He said, I finished school, you know, not just Cuba, whatever they call it, you know, not just the top of my class. I just outdid all of my contemporary. And he said, you know what? I was zealous for God. And he says, you know what? I counted all my achievements and accomplishments as dog poop. That's literally, it means animal poop, dung. Dung. God will break you to the point where you look at all that stuff as nothing. Come with me to 2 Corinthians. So we want to make it. I'm telling you, this is what making it is. This is what success is. It is total dependence on God. It is being broken from depending on anything that is not of God and everything you depend on God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Bear with me. You're probably already there. I've been announcing this particular chapter. Now listen. Let's go down to verse 7. Because even before that in chapter 11, he's talking about his weaknesses. He's talking about how many times he's been beaten. How many times he's been shipwrecked. How many times people were out to kill him. He says, this is what I'm going to boast about. But then he comes down to verse 7. He says, to keep me from becoming conceited. I got it together. Because of the surpassing great revelations. See, God showed him heaven, whether it was in a vision or God actually took him to heaven. He says, man, I saw things that is not lawful for me to tell you about. And God didn't take nobody else up there but me. Now, he didn't say that, but that could be the thought. Your greatest strength, hear this, your greatest strength could turn out to be your greatest weakness. Your greatest accomplishment can turn out to be your greatest enemy with God. Who had been to heaven? Oh, you know, you see people talking about, oh, I died and went to heaven. This world is like, no. Paul said, I didn't die and come back and, you know, they resuscitated me. No, I, whether in vision or in person, I don't know. I was there and boy, it was great. God realizing that, God broke him. God broke him. To keep me from becoming conceited. It was more important that he be dependent on God rather than, look what I saw. Because of the surpassing great revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh. God gave him a problem. He said, I don't want no problems, no more than I got. I got enough of that up in here. We're full up. All right? We don't need no more. Go away. That was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan. Would God give one of his children a messenger of Satan to torment him? Would God torment you through a demon? See, sometimes you get all kind of wrong thoughts. You just think that was me. That's you, rather. That wasn't me. Happened to you. All right? You come from the enemy. And you're constantly battling thoughts and temptations. The Lord gave that to Paul. See how horrible. Let me tell you something. God loves all of his children. Hebrews 12 or 13 talks about every son or daughter that the Lord loves, he chastens. He breaks them like the shepherd breaks the legs of the wayward sheep so he could carry him. Now the sheep has to depend on God for every move it makes. God wants you in that position. And if you're in that position, don't try to get out. That's all I pray for. Father, get me out of this. Deliver me this. You said you would make a way of escape. Read the rest of it. As Paul Harvey used to say, now for the rest of the story, he will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He said, I'm tired of bearing. Well, you carrying it yourself. Let him carry you and your thorn. A thorn is that thing that pricks you. A thorn is a very, you know, growing up in Texas, I'd go around barefooted, and we call them sticker bugs. You ever hear that term? These little things that, oh, they look like a landmine. They look like a mine that's in the sea that has like a little ball with just sticky things all over it. And you run around in the yard. Oh, and it hurts. Just a little bitty thing. Cause you all that pain. And it can be a little bitty thing in your life or in your mind that keeps pricking you. It's different than a trial. Trials come and go. This stays. You know the thing you're dealing with, right? You know the thing that pricks you that you have to pray about? See, God wants you on your knees praying about it, depending on him that you may be able to bear it because he's, that's next week's sermon. I don't want to get over there. But listen to this. He asked the God to take it away from me, but the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. I'm not going to take it away. I've given you grace. See in that kintsugi pottery? Look at grace as that gold in the broken places. And what he's really saying, my grace is sufficient to you, this is speaking of Jesus. What it's really saying is, I, the Lord, Jesus Christ, is sufficient for you. What else you want? We're saying, I'd rather have Jesus than anything, right? Yeah, wait till that pain and that, you know, thorn hits you. You say, Jesus, give me something else. I thought you were saying, I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Right? My grace, he's saying, the grace of Jesus, God himself, is sufficient for you. I mean, if God's not sufficient for you, then what else? For my power is made perfect in weakness. You say, what about, I don't know if I can take this much longer. Two things that thorn does. We say, how long, Lord? How long? Stop asking how long. Because he's not going to tell you. Stop asking how long. You know what it does? It just makes the torment worse. Is it going to lead tomorrow? No. Stop asking how long. Well, why? Why me? Well, why not you? You're my child. Stop asking God, why do I have this? Poor Job, right? That man suffered. Some of you are suffering. It's not that God does not have compassion. He's carrying you close to his bosom. Stop asking why. And ask who is carrying me. Ask who loves me. Ask who is strengthening me. Who is it that said, I will never leave you nor forsake you? See, that's where the strength comes in. That's where the comfort comes in. He says, therefore, I will boast all the more, and we'll get into this next week, because we're about out of time. I will boast about my weaknesses. He says, let me tell you what's happened to me and how the Lord strengthened me. So that Christ's power, see, that's his grace. Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. We'll get into that last part next week as we talk about brokenness and joy, brokenness and praise. I want to ask you to do a couple of things for me. I want you to ask God to break you. You said earlier, yeah, repetition. Because I don't think you believe me. I don't think you will do it. I encourage you for your good. Ask God to break you and to open your eyes, the eyes of your heart, to see that you don't have it all together. Ask God to show you your brokenness. Sometimes people say, well, I got nothing to repent of. I've heard people actually tell me that. People will say, well, I have no regrets. Then you don't understand. Then you are in need of brokenness. See, Jesus did not come for those who have it all together. He did not come for the healthy. He said the sick need a physician. We're sick. And we're blind. Ask God to help you repent of not needing repentance. Ask God to help you repent of the way you look at yourself. Ask God to help you repent that, well, you know, I you get that little feeling, hey, you know, I got this in the bank, or you know, we're going to be all right. I got that insurance policy, you know, if anything happens. I got health insurance, and I don't have health insurance right now, by the way, and I appreciate your prayers about that. You got to trust in God either way, whether you got health insurance or not. Come with me to Revelation 3. Ask God to help you repent that you don't need to repent. Ask God to help you to repent of not seeing the need of repentance. Ask God to help you repent for depending on stuff and other people and yourself. I want you to come with me to verse 17. Revelation 3:17. You say, I am rich, and I have acquired wealth, and I don't need a thing. And people say, child, I don't need nothing. You better get on your knees. But you don't realize that you are wretched and pitiful and poor and blind and naked. Oh, look at my fine silk. Look at my whatever they call the lines of clothes you like. I counsel you, he says, buy from me gold refined in the fire. You know what that means? Buy into thorns. Buy into persecutions. Buy into brokenheartedness, difficulties. When I say buy in, that means embrace it. You embrace a thorn? You got a thorn? I'm going to pull it out with some tweezers. Not embrace it. I'm talking spiritually. Embrace it because you know it's for your good. Embrace your brokenness. Buy me gold refined in the fire, refined in thorns and in trials and difficulties, so you can become rich. You say, but I got plenty of money. I got this or that. I got a good job. You're poor. You're naked. I don't care how much you make or who you work for.
Don't take that in heaven. You remember, a little story. I know you're tired of listening. Here's this man is dying, and he asked St. Peter, you know all the old St. Peter jokes. He said, let me take all my gold to heaven with me. You know, my bars of bullion, you know, he said, I got a Brinks truck full of it. I got millions and millions and millions of bars, gold bullion. So Peter says, poor man, he don't understand. Okay, go on, go on. Take it with you. So he gets up in heaven. The truck drives up to the pearly gates. He goes in. And then he says, hey, can I get an angel over here to help me pull out this gold? He said, sure. And they begin to pull it out. And he said, I want y'all to keep this safe. He said, what? You're in heaven. That gold is pavement. Keep it safe. Who's going to steal it? The streets are paved with that stuff. And you went through all that trouble to bring that stuff up here. We don't need it. That stuff you got, stuff I got, it means nothing. You may have a big bank account, but hey, it don't count for nothing. He says, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness. I'm not naked. You ought to see how I'm draped out. Look at my suits. Look at my skirt. Look at my dresses. Look at my bling. And salve to put on your eyes because you're blind because you sure enough can't see. You don't see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. I call on you to repent of your goodness. See, that was the Pharisees' problem. They were good. Repent of it. You need the Lord. We all need the Lord. Repent of your goodness. Repent of your good works. He says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. He's calling you. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Notice he's outside knocking. Let me in. You see, no, we don't need no more Jesus up here. We got enough Jesus. I got my plastic Jesus on the dashboard, bobbling. I've got my crosses, right? I go to church every Sunday. I pay my tithes and offerings. I do my good works. I contribute to the food bank. I do all these things. I don't need no more Jesus up in here. He says, you think you're safe and secure. You're not. Come by of me. Secondly, I ask you, God asks us to abide with Jesus. John 15. Abide with him. Depend on him. In fact, Jesus said in John 5 and verse 30, himself, he says, of my own self. Now, this is the Son of God, fully man. Yes, he has a human nature, not a fallen nature, but a human nature. But he's God. And he says, of my own self, John 5, 30, I can do nothing. If he can't do anything of himself without depending on the Father, what about you? So I encourage you, John 15. Abide in the vine, because he says, without me, Jesus is that vine, you can do nothing. So repent and abide. Ask God to break you and ask God to fill you with his spirit, because we can't do it ourselves. We need him. And this is the life. Let me tell you something, just ahead a little bit to next week. It is the good life. It is the good life. See, we got it. We got a good life and wanting a worse life. Really? That other stuff is worse. This is real riches. Let us surrender our lives to him and let him fill us with himself. Father, we thank you so very much for the brokenness, for the thorns, for the trials, for the sickness, for the, you name it, you know that which we want rid of. But you're using that. You're making dust. You're making diamonds out of dust. So all the glory and all the praise will not go to us as to what we've accomplished, but what you have, Father. Father, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would just make this sermon real. Paul talked about the foolishness of preaching. And all I've said today can be foolishness, Holy Spirit, unless you speak to our hearts and you change our hearts and that we seek and embrace you and even the brokenness you have for us. For we know then we are strong. When we are weak. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, as we come to the Lord's table, a table symbolized by brokenness. And let us examine ourselves before we eat and before we drink of the Lord's Supper. This is a supper of brokenness. Why do you say that, Pastor? Well, even as I mentioned last week, we eat of the broken bread, which is a sign and seal of the broken body and life of Jesus Christ. It is a meal of brokenness because we partake of the cup, that cup of wine. That cup symbolizes brokenness. It symbolizes pain. It symbolizes suffering. Remember in the garden that night after he had given the bread of brokenness and the wine of pouring out his life to his disciples. He came to the Father. Remember, Jesus was human and God. And he cried out to the Father. What did he ask for? Let this cup pass from me. During the sermon, I talked about how we want, Father, remove this from us. Here, the Apostle Paul asked three times that the thorn that was pricking him continually from Satan would be removed. And he says, no, my grace is sufficient. Jesus asked three times, Father, let this cup pass from me. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be broken. My life, my blood's going to be poured out. Let this cup. See, when he's talking about cup, he's talking about blood. And they said he was so intense that his sweat was like great drops of blood. As a human being, he did not want to suffer. And the most atrocious suffering he would face was your sins, my sins, and the sins of all the world, all the murders, all the lies. Imagine all the abuses, all the adultery, all the fornication, all the murders, all the kidnappings, all of that times infinity. All of that, of all people who ever born, were going to be put on him. He knew that the Father would turn away from him. He knew that he would become sin for us. And it was real. He had always been abiding with the Father, always depending on the Father. Now the Father's going to turn his face away from his only beloved Son. Three times, let it pass. But not my will. Look at the brokenness. Look at the brokenness. He embraced it. He embraced it. Not my will, your will be done. He surrendered to God. Embraced the suffering for all of my sins. And he was blessed, even though he would become a curse for us. And Jesus said, take up your cross. Take up your cross. I have to take up my cross. You have to take up your cross. My brokenness, your brokenness. My pain, your pain. And follow him in suffering, in brokenness. For brokenness is the gateway to glory. For after he suffered, God raised him in glory forever and ever to be praised. The same is the calling he has for you and I. Yes, it's painful. But if I would say it this way, it hurts so good. For he is conforming us into the image of his Son. And in glory forever and ever. And that's what we're going to look at next week. But as we partake of this bread and this wine, let us examine ourselves. Let's ask God to break us. If we're going to eat broken bread, let's ask God to break us and to give us his grace. His grace is sufficient for the brokenness. No brokenness, no grace. God gives grace to the humble. God gives grace to the broken. God makes whole the broken. Father in heaven, your way is certainly not ours. And your way of doing things are right and true. We can't question you. We say, yes, Lord. As we drink the wine with the bread, do we realize that the price was paid and it was for our good and the good of all the world? Let us drink this in humility and brokenness and realize that in our weakness, even though it doesn't make sense, here's bread and wine, body and blood, doesn't make sense. If Jesus was all of that, why didn't he save himself? The Greeks reasoned. But your ways are higher than our reasoning. Help us to believe in faith that when we are weak, you are strong by depending on the resurrected Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
His strength is perfect. So
speaking when ours comes to